Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Quoting here from Adam Schefter, you'll hear from him in a second. It sounds like Jordan Love is going to have a realistic chance to play on Sunday.
Chance to have a chance.
Edition.
Should I now?
Yeah, he didn't respond to my Facebook message. I need to send Chili another message. Follow up with him. Edition. And the... As two biblical scholars on the panel, you and I, you with your Catholicism, myself as a Lutheran, we can get into a discussion of where Christianity is today and all that other stuff on some other podcast like God Talk with Homer and Pip. But I would like you to power rank Jesus' miracles. I'll explain coming up edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. For the second consecutive day, if he's there again. No, three straight days. It's a streak.
We're going for five this week.
Let's not count our chickens.
Is there no volleyball this week?
Huge match Friday night.
Oh, so there's nothing until Friday.
Nebraska.
Big one.
But it's Friday night, so he doesn't have to take Saturday's show off because we don't have one. Edition. And also in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, he's a miracle worker in his own right. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I wore this sweatshirt again today because we never told our fans what it was. We put
it's
it
true.
Out there. My mom actually texted after that show, which I don't know if that was early last week. And it's Ron Dayne's rightful rushing record. Try that little tongue twister.
Yeah, we
Ron Dayne's
we
rightful
all,
rushing
we
record. Ron Dayne's rightful rushing record.
Hanging from the rafters over at Camp Randall. That number.
Like the low hanging fruit.
It's high hanging. No, this is high hanging. This is like giraffe indeed. Stuff. Giraffes can only get to that.
So help us understand, as the radio analyst, color analyst for the Badgers Radio Network, what is the issue with Ron Dayne's rushing total?
They counted somebody else's bowl game stats and they didn't count Ron's. I mean.
And why would that be?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the NCAA. I don't know. But it's a foolish deal, and that's so we just want to make sure.
They didn't count bowl stats
until
date
they decided
in the 2000s.
They wanted to.
Yeah,
so it's foolish.
When it just is.
But
when,
they don't retroactively then go back and count the bowl stats for the people that didn't have them counted but did play in bowl games.
That's my
and did gain yardage?
Too much that work. Is my understanding.
Way too much work.
That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who's running the NCAA? You?
Nobody. Well, if I was running the NCAA, Ron's
no, I meant Jesse.
Oh, Yeah, so
that's about right. Yeah.
So that's the deal. I just wanted to clarify that. I know hundreds of people were asking that question, so I just wanted to make sure.
Hundreds.
We were clarifying. I don't know.
Okay.
I found a couple of things interesting about the World Series. I know we don't talk a ton of baseball, and since the Brewers got eliminated,
I didn't even know you were watching.
I'm not.
You've made it very clear you are anti-World Series.
I did not watch.
Series.
I saw the—I mean, obviously, I'm on Twitter. I saw the clips.
The highlights.
But I learned something last night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I learned something last night. Do you know that in minor league baseball, if you're batting and you disagree with a pitch, tap your helmet, they review it instantly, and they will correct it. You get one at bat. Pitcher, the same thing. If you thought you threw a strike, tap that head.
Oh, I like the tapping noise you're making.
And they go to review, and within 3 seconds, they will either flip it or they won't. You only get one, but you get one every at bat.
One per at bat.
Yes. I like it. I like it a lot.
Who reviews it?
Somebody. I don't know. I didn't ask.
The Jesse Nelson of the Madison Black Wolf.
Where did you learn this?
I learned it I just told you at dinner with some baseball aficionados.
No, you learned it during the World Series.
You said it was during the World Series.
No,
like Joe Davis told you on the broadcast.
Fair.
Is this a reputable source?
We were at dinner and someone was on their phone and somebody hit a 2-run home run, and then we were talking about we just started talking baseball. So that was the appetizer for this conversation, which I found very, very interesting. And then it turned to, well, why don't we do this with football? A guy, if you get a face mask, tap your helmet. And for as much as I have pushed back because of the open door, what's the word I'm looking for, where it's
Pandora's
box of penalty re-judgment, which we don't want.
Slippery slope.
There we go. But with face masks, so baseball, it's coming. It's going to happen. And I don't know if Major Leagues is going to do it this year or next, but it's happening. And I don't think anybody could be mad about that. But in that same conversation.
Oh, boy.
And I think I even have stats to prove this. So, Jesse, look this up.
It looks like you're
looking it up. I have stats to prove this. Jesse, look this up.
What do you think the correct... When all is said and done, from robo-umps to human umps, what do you think the hit percentage is of being right?
On balls and strikes?
Correct.
Well, that's not fair already. This is already
just what do you
flawed.
Think the stats are?
Well, the stats are arbitrary. Balls and strikes is arbitrary.
We do have Don Dechinger.
It's not balls and strikes are arbitrary until they're not. Anyways... The robo-umps...
The delivery of this has been outstanding, by the way.
The robo-umps...
During the World Series.
...have gotten it wrong 5.2%, the human umps 4.6%. And that is according
to... Wow!
Let me see. What's
that's what I was going
to
guess. Wow. I didn't know you had found the
Major
statistic.
Major League Baseball umpire something. I'll get you the exact...
So the human umps... According to the information provided by the human umps,
no, it's not
they
from
are
the
more
umps.
Accurate
the
than the robots.
The Umpires Association says the umpires are better than the robo-umps.
It's a Twitter site that covers this, kind of like Pro
Save
Football
the umpires.
Focus.
SaveTheUmpires.com.
No, it's a Pro Football Focus deal. So anyways, my point is the robo-umps we all think are accurate, but the point was the spin
They're
rate and some of these 12-6 curveballs, and you don't know anything about this, Jason, but the ball moves and it comes in and out of the strike zone. Well, you're being a little snooty. That's where this is at.
You don't know anything about this, and I'm a snooty one?
12-6 curveball, you probably don't know a ton about it, if I'm being honest.
So, wait a minute. You started this... by saying you learned something during the World Series, which was really just a dinner conversation about baseball.
But it was baseball-related, yes. From the World Series was the jumping-off point.
And you're saying that there should be automatic...
And by the way, my deal is correct. I'm starting to hum. My prediction is got big legs. Big leg
you
prediction.
Are, you are 25% of the way there for
Boy,
the Yankees.
If I get, like the Red Sox told the Yankees, don't let me get another one. Don't let me get another one.
Don't let the Yankees get hot.
And we get another one. All of a sudden, it's 3-3. Don't let me get another one.
big Yankees
guy.
Now
you're a Yankee?
No, I can't stand the Yankees, but I love my prediction.
The captain.
I am going to root for my prediction.
He just doesn't want me to be right about Ohtani and the Dodgers, I think is what it comes down to.
All right.
So you started by saying how you should be able to automatically review anything because the umpires are arbitrary, but then you gave us a stat that says the umpires are right more than the robo-umps in the instant review
type
scenario.
By a small amount, yeah. It just
so
what I'm saying
point?
Is it's a my point is this implementing this is going to be a ton of fun, and the fact that it's already at the minor league level and it's climbing, and the major leagues are going to start implementing it at some point, I find fascinating. And if you guys don't, that's fine. I know all you guys want to do is sit and talk about Lucas Van Ness, and that's great. I'm on board. I love talking trade simulators. I just find this whole thing super interesting.
You invented the Wilde and Tausch trade simulator.
I do love it. But
just because you blindsided us with your baseball discussion out of nowhere with no heads up whatsoever.
That's fair.
And we're stumbling around. I mean, at least I gave you in the open a heads up on Jesus miracles.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% sure where that's coming from. But
I will explain if I ever get a chance.
Do you two like this idea? The head tag.
All right. Okay, so if I may, as someone who has had the World Series on for all four games now.
Well, thank you for your service.
But definitely there were some balls and strikes during Game 3 that the Yankees felt were very, very, very inaccurate. So the tapping of the helmet, if that is true, is that across only minor league baseball that is affiliated with the major leagues? Is it independent leagues? These are all pieces of information that I don't currently have. Kind of like I don't know anything about the 12-6 curveball, which I would think 12 is at the top of the clock, the 6 is at the bottom. It has a downward drop.
Yeah, I don't even know how many guys throw 12-6ers anymore. A lot more sweepers.
Would that be the accurate description of a 12-6 curveball?
Yeah, you did good.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. So, if that is in minor league MLB-affiliated minor league baseball, count me in. If it takes 3 seconds to review, he steps out of the box, I'm in. Because there are plenty of instances where the vagaries of a home plate umpire's view cause balls and strikes to be inaccurately called. And if they are, it changes the dynamic of the whole at-bat, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
suddenly now you're 0-2 instead of 1-1.
Analytics are huge. The question, do you want the pitcher or the catcher tapping? I think I want my catcher to be the tap guy.
Well, that was not the question, but now you've added that to the mix, which is a good question to add. So you think one member of the battery and then the batter gets one in at-bat?
Yes.
How do you choose whether or not you want to use it or you want to save it for later in the count?
That's
strategery.
That's baseball, baby. That's baseball.
Okay.
You who doesn't want to review penalties and everything in mm-hmm. football, you want to be able to implement review up to 2 reviews per at bat.
Yep.
For every baseball game ever played.
3 seconds is all you get. It's more entertaining.
Okay, I'm still working through this topic, if I may. So now,
sure.
You then made the jump to transferring the Tap the Helmet program to the National Football League.
Kinda. I think there's too much subjectivity. I never want offsides, holdings. I think delay of game you could probably replay, and face masks. No late hits on the quarterback. I'm not interested in who thinks what is what, but if you rip somebody's head off with a face mask, just like you do with targeting, I'm fine with that. I have come around on that.
So you are on board with the Sky... I mean, the NFL basically instituted Sky Judge...
Without even...
Unilaterally.
Yeah, I didn't even
without asking anybody, without collective bargaining nothing. They just said, we're going to have somebody in New York tap your head.
Yeah.
And tell you missed the call.
Yep.
But then they still don't do it other times, and guys have to use their challenges. And
that's
sometimes they
deal.
Misuse their challenges.
It's a weird deal.
It's a quandary. It's a quagmire. All right. So you are on board or not on board
with finding some version of this for the NFL.
Yeah, only on very select deals. I'm not
like
interested.
Sam Darnold's face mask.
Yes, I'm not interested in a long run, and they come back and say, well, your right guard flinched before it, right. So it's coming back. I'm not interested in that at all.
But if the idea is replay is supposed to fix obvious mistakes, and a mistake like that face mask in last Thursday night's game isn't fixed, that has to be fixed.
Yep.
Okay. Then finally, where the World Series currently stands, the Dodgers out to a 3-0.
Don't let me get another one. That lead. If I'm the New York Yankees, all I'm saying is don't let us get another one. That's it.
So they won Game 4. Last night, it is now 3-1 in the World Series. So
boys are starting to heat up.
So you
a Yankee fan is obnoxious.
I'm not a Yankee fan. I am a history fan.
Tausch Jeter.
No, I am a history fan. But, and I want to see history be made. That's what
the Brewers were eliminated from the postseason.
Seems like six months ago.
And this long time ago.
This month of October is just dragging.
You
dragging
did declare
like a wagon.
You did declare that you were out on baseball.
Yeah, I haven't watched.
Dunzo.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I've seen clips. Paid enough attention that I can talk about it in a reasonably educated manner. Yeah.
Who's going to be the World Series MVP hitting a home run in every game?
Freddie.
Yeah.
All right. Freddie.
He's good.
But I do believe it's going to end up being that shortstop that turned the whole game for the Yankees last night. Because if the Yankees come back and win 4-3, which is what I've predicted, it'll be him.
It's a good story. Kid that grew up in New York.
Gleyber Torres, is that who it is?
No.
Oh, Volpe.
That's a name that's on the Yankees, though. I love that name.
You got one, yep.
Gleyber. I ain't gonna lie to you. If there's somehow, if we ended up having another child, Gleyber would be a name at the top of that list. I love that name. Gleyber.
All right, Giancarlo Tauscher. Could you tell us?
I'm not a Giancarlo fan.
Could you tell us about Pella Windows and Doors?
Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella. The durability of materials. It gets tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. And right now, Gina Della, 60 years young. 60.
Incredible.
Sleek and looks fantastic. And she wants to give all of our Pella Windows and Doors fans a great deal. Zero down. Zero interest, 60 months. 60 months for 60th birthday for Gina. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
The Packers are facing the Detroit Lions, and as Mike McCarthy would say, we're going to talk to Brian Bulaga and Homer today about that matchup. Before we get to them and before we get to Brian, I want you to hear what Adam Schefter said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and would you classify it as big news, little news, or no news? We will hear from him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wow. What is DJ Jazzy Jelly got going on over there?
Told you we had some new music coming.
Is this throwback Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it is? What is this?
It's another good. What I do, just so everybody knows my process, when I hear
you go to good, a meat raffle,
when I hear
play music,
when I hear good songs, I put them in a note on my phone, and then eventually I get around to putting them into the system if I think they're good enough to be part of our show rotation.
Do you Shazam them so you know what they're
sometimes,
called?
Sometimes, yeah. I used to be a big fan of when Snapchat had the little function where you could do that. You could just hold it on Snapchat. It would tell you what the song was, but they don't do that anymore. So it's made it a little tougher.
Sorry to hear that. I don't have Snapchat. All right. Let's hear what Adam Schefter had to say, because I don't want to poo-poo. I don't want to poo-poo. But this felt a little, Tausch, like the old no blank blank. So tell me what you think when you hear this from Adam Schefter regarding Jordan Love's potential availability for Sunday.
Look, again, it's Wednesday. I'm going to guess I'm going to guess. I don't know this. He's going to be limited today, limited tomorrow, limited Friday, questionable. And then my guess is he plays. That's how I see this going in. And let's see how it plays out. But I know they have the bye next week. So they obviously, if they rest him, they would get 2 weeks for Jordan Love. And Malik Willis has played well. So that would be an option. And let's see how he feels during the week. But my guess, not a report, my guess, reading between, it sounds like everybody was pretty relieved at the way the testing came out. It sounds like everybody was relieved it wasn't worse than it was. And it sounds like he's going to have a realistic chance to play on Sunday. Now, whether he will or not, we'll see this week. But I could say with confidence he's going to have a realistic chance to play on Sunday.
That sounded like me saying my air quotes opinion in Adam Schefter's voice, right? I mean, that's what I do. I'm not. This is a guess. This is not a report. I do that all the like. Well, does that change?
In fairness, though, I don't know. You don't really do reporting. You just analyze.
Okay. If you could just focus on what
you
said.
You just brought it up, though. I mean, you're not breaking news. So Schefter, when he is. Everybody goes to Schefter for all the breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference, obviously.
No doubt.
Between you two. You have the part, you don't want to give opinions on anything because you don't want anyone to come back at you.
That's not true.
Kind of fair. With Schefter, I think he looks at it and says, if I say this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee, it is going to...
Yeah, it already is.
And... So he wants to specify to the degree that you as a journalist hold them to. You want to, if he says reporting this, that means he sourced it and he's got a really good, that's not what he said. So in this new landscape, that's how you have to approach it. I don't like it. I like big, bold opinions. I want guys to put themselves out there. Schefter didn't want to, obviously, and that's great. I don't have any problem
with
it.
Well, wait, he didn't not want to put himself out there. He didn't have the information to report that he was going to play.
I think he's got better information than we think. I think he is trying to be responsible, is what I think he's doing.
I think his agent thinks that he's more likely to play than not, and that's what he's been told, and they're hopeful, but they don't know for sure. That's what I think.
Yeah, no.
How's
blank.
That?
That's exactly what Schefter just said.
Right. So
it's not exactly what Schefter just said.
What did Schefter say? If that's not what he said.
All right. Here's. Let's skip the do-si-do here.
But the semantics
here,
is what you were talking about, right?
Is that what I'm talking about? Is he made it very clear it's a guess. I think his guess was exactly what I would guess. I might say possibly that Jordan doesn't practice today. He's limited tomorrow and Friday and then is listed as questionable. We'll see what he does. Mm-hmm. They start practice at 12:10, so it will be after our show has gone off the air for the day that we find that out. But look,
do you want to do 4 hours tomorrow so we can cover it?
Well, today. The practice is today.
How are you going to battle the limited dance at availability this afternoon?
That's a great question because I definitely don't like that game.
That's how you do the limited dance.
You can add that to your musical playlist there, Jesse. The bottom line is I think that it's more likely than not, based on everything that all of us have heard, that Jordan Love plays, including Matt LaFleur standing at the podium and saying, if he's able to go, he's going to go. It doesn't matter that we have the bye, and we could rest him this week and rest him next week.
You think it matters that it's Detroit?
Hopefully be 100%.
You think it matters?
I do.
I do, too.
I do think that, even if they say it doesn't.
Do you think that's smart?
No, I don't.
You want to sit and bubble wrap him and let him get 20 days, don't you?
I do, because there's a lot of other football games left on the schedule.
If something happens to him on Sunday, you're going to say, told you.
And I'm going to say, don't make him walk up a bunch of stairs like those jerks in Minneapolis did with Tausch.
Lambo's got carts, and they got flat surfaces. It's great.
I understand.
So that'll be easy.
But we know. How many games did you miss with your torn groin?
Three or four?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I understand where you're coming from.
If the pain was bad, and, like, I respect the hell out of him for pushing through it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was bad enough that eventually he had to collapse to the ground before he got to the sideline.
Sure.
That would tell me that at least on Sunday he was in a meaningful amount of pain. And if he gets stim and all the other stuff that you guys do back there with Flea and Nate and the whole crew of the athletic training staff, great, then he's ready to go. But I don't want this to be made into, oh, my God, we're playing the Lions. We can't play the Lions without our guy. I hope that's not coloring any sort of judgment. And they will say it's not. I get that. You can't say, yeah, I mean, if, you know, if we're...
playing,
if we're playing the Patriots or Tennessee again, you know, we'd probably sit them because it's not worth the risk against a bad team that we can beat with one arm tied behind our back. I get it, but I don't think that this is a must-win game. It would be great to win it, and certainly you want to win it. You're going to do everything you can to win it, but if you get beat, yeah, you got to then go the Thursday after Thanksgiving and win in Detroit to even up the season series.
Did that last year, no problem.
But you did that last year.
Well,
exactly.
I think you got to do everything you can to win it. You just said that. That's playing Jordan Love at 60%. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's, you just laid that premise out, and that's what I think Green Bay appreciates, the fact that Jordan is going to scrap to get back out there. But the question is, what's that number, and what do you need to see from him to feel good enough? And yeah, the fact that your backup has played as well as he has, and there's enough belief in that locker room in him, which, again, is such a great testament to him, that changes the equation to me. If you had Sean Clifford or Kirk Benkert as your backup, and you're going in there,
Boyle,
you're probably, no, you're in big trouble. But I don't feel that way about playing Malik. If Malik Willis has to play against Detroit, I still feel like we can beat him. And I can't recall ever saying that. I love Matt Flynn, but I don't know if we had that same confidence in him. But I know that how do you not have confidence in what Malik is doing? Because
yeah,
he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes the equation to me. This isn't simple algebra. Like, it doesn't all have to. Doesn't have to equal up, because now I feel like old boy can get a win for us.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't felt that way about a backup in a while.
We will ask Brian Bulaga that exact question when he joins us coming up next. Want to remind you, if you've been injured, not a groin injury during the course of a football game, but if you've been injured in an accident, there's only one call to make. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out all about the firm, its history, all the great lawyers that are there, David and his team's commitment to all of our communities, everything you need. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We need to call Brian Bulaga. He joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
God, I love it when this guy joins us. In fact, with the bye week coming up,
my buddy Jason,
I was going to take a couple days next week, you know, recharge the batteries, do my best. Never mind. And I didn't want to miss Wednesday's show because I didn't want to miss our time with this guy. He is our second favorite.
So you're scheduling your family vacations around Brian Bulaga's.
It's not a family vacation. We're not going on
Brian,
a family vacation.
That should make you feel really good, Blue.
Yeah, you're special, Brian. You're special. Hi.
It does make me feel good. Yeah, it does make me feel good. Yeah, that's great.
I don't like you enough to then do the homer hour on Thursday, though. I'm going to skip that because I'm not going to talk to
you. I usually plan my time off when Bulaga and Domofsky are coming on, so that's nice. Uh-huh.
You plan your time off all the time. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's
all right, Brian,
true.
Help us out with this. So Our guy, Adam Schefter, says there's a realistic chance that Jordan Love plays on Sunday. Now, I say no blank blank because we know that he avoided a catastrophic injury, a Mark Tauscher-style torn off the bone groin injury that keeps you out three or four games. I am curious, based on your confidence, though, in Malik, what you talking about Willis, if you would play what Mike McCarthy would call the high side of caution about playing him in this game, or is it such an important game that you got to play your guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question because everyone knows. I mean, I heard you guys talking about before. I mean, Jordan Love gives the team the best chance to win, whether that's at 60%, 70%, whatever he's going to be at. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, he gives the team the best chance to win. But that's not to say that Malik Willis couldn't do enough to get them in a position to win the game. That's kind of where I'm at with Malik Willis right now. I think he can rally this offense and they can do enough to keep them in the game with Detroit, right? Like, I'm not sure if we need Malik Willis to go win the game like Jordan mm-hmm. Love did, say, on the final drive against Houston. I'm not, like, because we haven't seen it yet, right? Like, mm-hmm. so, like, I can't say he could do it because we haven't seen it yet. Like, I get it, he beat Indy. I get it, he beat Tennessee. I get it, he came in and beat Jacksonville. But, like, this is a different team that we're talking about Malik Willis going to face, mm-hmm. right, if he is to be the guy. So the game has to look a certain way for Malik Willis to play this game and for them to be successful. I feel like this isn't going to be the way it would look if Jordan Love was playing. And what I mean by that is, you're going to have to run the ball with Malik Willis, that is, around 35 times to be successful against Detroit, which you may not be able to, because if Detroit's scoring at a certain rate, you got to keep up with touchdowns. You know, you got to score a score for a score, and that doesn't allow you to run the football that way. So then that makes you look at defensively, the defense has to have a day, like they did in Detroit on Thanksgiving last year. They got to have a day, and they need to play in a similar style and manner. So there's a lot that would need to go right for this team if Malik Willis were to start and be the guy if Jordan Love can't go. Is it impossible? No. Like, and is there confidence with Malik Willis in that locker room with the coaching staff? Absolutely. He's given them no reason not to be confident in him, which is a testament to him. But it's going to look different to beat Detroit with Willis in versus Love. So if Jordan Love's at 70%, 60%, I mean, 60% is tough. Like, you know what I mean? If he's at 60%, that's hard to put a guy out there against Detroit. Mm-hmm. But say he's at 70%, I think, and he feels good enough to go, I think you got to let him go and let him play. But at 60%, man, you're not moving around very good. Like, you're struggling to even get out of the pocket and evade basic, you know, pressures or just not even pressures, just simple pocket movement, stepping up and out and all that. So if he's anywhere below 70%, I would play the high side of caution. Yeah, you want to win this football game, like you said, Jason, before I got on. Yeah, you want to win it. It's not a must-win game. You don't want to fall too far behind Detroit in this chase, so to speak, because that's what it would become. If you lose to Detroit, it becomes a chase then. You're chasing Detroit mm-hmm. the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. But is it potentially worth risking Jordan Love if he does then have an injury like Tausch had, where he rips that thing in a bad way, right? Like, I mean, that thing, it goes from like a, you know, a semi-bad strain or a sprain, whatever they want to call it, to a severe one. And then, yeah, you got the bye week. But listen, for everyone that's listening, the bye week ain't healing it. It's not doing it. You know, like, he's not going to heal over the bye week if he injures it again on Sunday. So, like, just might as well throw that out the window. Like, it's not going to happen. So that's what you have to weigh and risk and kind of figure out if you're the team doc, if you're Love, if you're Goody, if you're LaFleur. You got to weigh that balance and see is it worth it. And to me, if he can't move and do what he needs to do, like I think you got to go with Willis and you got to build this game plan to win ugly. And to me, that's okay. Winning ugly is okay. Like, I'm good with it. Make this thing as ugly as it can get. I'm good with it. But then you have to build the plan around it. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
It's also potentially supposed to rain on Sunday afternoon. I just saw
even better. Even better.
Weather. Let me ask you both this, because you both played through a ton of injuries during your playing careers. When it's a soft tissue issue, which was what I was trying to ask LaFleur on Monday, frankly, about the idea of having this week and the bye week, and then a full week until they play the Bears on the 17th of November. Is it different than when it's a pain tolerance? Like, you guys played through MCLs, right? And you weren't going to make it worse necessarily, but you were in some pain throughout the game. Like, is it different when it's a soft tissue, I can pull it worse than it already is? Does that factor into the equation, or am I just being bubble wrap city guy worrying too much?
You want to take it, Tausch, or you want me to take
it? Go for it.
Yeah, I think it changes the dynamic a little bit. Like, when you're talking about joint versus soft tissue, it's a completely different ball game. When it's soft tissue like this apparently is, yeah, I mean, you can make it worse. You can make it a lot worse, right? Like, because if it was already a lot worse, there'd be no way he could play. So, yes, it couldn't get worse, which is why we always see when guys get hamstrings, they're down for at least 3 weeks, because it could get a lot worse. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a risk for sure, where when you're dealing with some knee pain and it's in the joint, yeah, there's damage in there, but like, if you protect it enough or you brace it, sure, you could always make it worse, but the chances of it getting worse are slim. This is a different story when it's soft tissue. It just is.
Yeah, with soft tissue, the clock gets reset, and you don't want to reset the clock. You want to continue to push and get that thing so that you feel, because you're not going to be back to 100%. If you yank a hammy and you pop it, and I only did that once, and that was in an off season doing a bunch of sprint work, Blue, a lot of like sprinting hundreds. I never thought I could pop a hamstring. So I was shocked by that. But it does take a while. And what you don't want to do is, I want to get back out there and do this. And then you feel that boop, a little twinge, or that little bap, basically a reminder, hey, don't be an idiot. That's how I always looked at it. So you have to let that go, because the last thing you want to do here is throw Jordan out there at 60% and he's not mobile, he's not able to make the plays that he wants to, and then all of a sudden now you go from a minimal injury to he's going to be out 3-4 more weeks, and you think you're chasing Detroit then. You're really going to be chasing him. So that's the balancing act, and that's where I know – as a player, we always hated when Wilde or Demofsky would come up and say, oh, what percentage are you at? Well, what do you think? Listen, bro, I don't know. Like, what do you want me to make up a number? I would never give like a 5 or an 0. It'd be like, I'm about 77. Oh, I'm probably like 84 and a quarter, you know, just because it's a ridiculous premise. The bottom line is, do you feel good enough to play or not? That's really what you want. And you want to have some type of a barometer. So I'm sure I'll be fascinated to see when Jason asks Jordan what percentage he's at, what Jordan ends up saying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask him, Mance.
What are you going to say?
First of all, we need him to talk today, right? So I would think that if he practices on a limited basis, he will talk and he will have the directive from Matt LaFleur to say, well, I was limited. So any questions of what were you able to do? Did you take some team reps? My question, I think, would be, Jordan, it looked like there were times where even just making subtle movements within the pocket were painful
for
you.
Wincy.
I'll sneak you. I saw you wince. Perfect. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Okay? Also,
You also made some throws on the run where it clearly hurt a lot because you were hopping.
Grimacing.
After you threw
so
it.
So you went from a wince to a grimace. You can go
not
there.
Not to be confused with the big purple guy from McDonald's. All right. So you go correct. From a wince to a grimace to collapsing on the field and going out of the game.
Is there anything is that we could put? Because it's nice to have that little boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you can workshop that for me, and
wince,
we'll get back to you in the
grimace,
next segment.
And then collapse? I don't think that's the way you want to go.
What do you have to be able to do, and how much better do you have to be able to do those things than you were able to do them on Sunday in order to play? That's kind of what I was kind of formulating in my mind. That's how I want to approach it. We will discuss this further. I want to talk a little bit about the offensive line during tackle talk, because if your quarterback's not going to be as mobile as he normally is, more pressure on those guys as well. We'll see.
You
what
like
Brian...
recoil? I just Googled. Do you like
well,
recoil?
That's not grimace or wince.
Well, I
though.
Just put other words, similar words from Oxford with wince, and grimace is the first one that pops up.
Sure.
And then flinch, I think it was more than a flinch.
Yeah,
recoil and
flinch.
Blench. I don't know what the word blench even means, but that's on here too.
Tausch will continue to go through the thesaurus, but he has to stop doing the thesaurus to tell us about AmFam, which, by the way, has a partnership with Jordan Love.
No wincing about synergy. That partnership. We love it. Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's something for everybody. Visit us at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/packers. To enter today. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. Tausch, I feel like I've kind of monopolized Brian's time.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, Jason. With that said, Blue, give me your breakdown on the tape up front. How did the boys look up front in your film breakdown?
I think we struggled this week a little bit overall. And, you know, it obviously, you know, breakdowns on offense – I mean, as someone, and you know this as well, when breakdowns on offense happen, a lot of the times, and I never, you know, I'm an apologist for offensive linemen, but the unfortunate part of it is when breakdowns happen, a lot of the times it starts with us up front. And that's just the way, that's the way this thing works on offense. And for the good or bad, right, if there's good things that are happening, it starts with us. If there's bad things that are happening, it also starts with us. So, like, this week we struggled a little bit. I thought Sheed struggled a little bit this week. I mean, listen, the Jags got two good pass rushers. And, yeah, there were just times he struggled in the run in the pass game. I thought Meyer struggled a touch as well. Surprisingly, like, and again, this always surprises me when he doesn't play well, is Elton didn't have his finest game, I don't think. You just look up and down the board. It wasn't the O-line's best, you know, best game. And there were always – listen, there's good things and there's bad things that happen throughout a game. There were good times of pass pro. There were good run plays. I mean, Jacobs was very productive, so there had to be some good things that happened throughout the game, which there was. But I look at it as a whole, not just like a certain series or a certain play. And as a whole – I think the group as a whole struggled in this game, which I didn't really like going into the game. I thought this was going to be a dominant performance mm-hmm. against this group. I understood that they have two good pass rushers that are good players, but you know, I feel good about the tackles. So like that was never really a concern. And I knew interior wise, we had guys that could, you know, handle the guys inside. And Jacksonville played well, right? Like, and it, like, that's really, you know, you can't take anything away from the guys up front for Jacksonville. They played well. They did a good job. And I, you know, I'm hoping the tape, I mean, and I think that this is what's going to happen. And I said it on Monday too, right? Like, when you have these games where you're going against an opponent that you're better than and you struggle, it happens once, like, say, against L.A., and, yeah, there's correcting from it, and but, you know, you still get the win, and, you know, you go to the meeting room the next day, and, yeah, you don't really want – like, the tape sucks to watch, but you get through it, and you still walk out of there where we got the win. Happens again, and it's another, you know, not optimal performance. You get the win. The coaches have to start, you know, kind of changing the rhetoric of how they're grading the tape at that point. And it, I mean, it happened with us plenty of times with how Campy would react in meeting rooms with us if we didn't perform well against a team we should be performing well against. Like, happens once, like, okay, hey, we need to correct X, Y, and Z. And it's, if it continues to show itself, well, now you need to dive into this thing a little bit more, and guys need to be individuals need to start being corrected a little bit more. And that's probably what's going on. So I'm hoping they learn from it, right? Like, because the opponent they have coming in, they can't play that way against this opponent. This opponent will make this game look a lot different than what it did against Jacksonville. So I'm hoping for a better performance. And I think those guys up front, knowing, you know, how Jason's talked about Zach Tom, and I know Elton, how these guys operate, they know it's got to be better, and they're going to put their best foot forward.
What did you think of the tight end blocking? Because you said it, Jacobs had a big day. He was very productive. Did you like what you saw from the tight ends, and maybe even some of the receivers with some of the perimeter runs?
Well, yeah, I mean, Watson, again, we continue to talk about him like the guy that should be upset, right? Like, because he continues to go out there and performs and does the dirty jobs, right? Like, he's downfield blocking for Jacobs. He's like, and when you, and LaFleur's offense in the run game, yeah, the blocking, it's got to be clean to get the guys to the second level. But where the big runs hit are when the receivers are crack replacing properly and those guys are blocking downfield. And Watson continues to show up and do it. And listen, he's a big-bodied receiver. He's strong. He's physical. And he continues to show up on tape as someone who is doing that, you know, unsung hero job downfield as a receiver. And I get it. The receivers, they want to catch passes. And, like, I get that. And I want him to catch passes. I want him to score touchdowns. Like, believe me, he's working his tail off on the field. You could see it. So you want him to be rewarded with, you know, touchdowns and receptions and all that. But listen, man, like, there's something to be said about guys that, you know, do that role, that block downfield, and they don't get, you know, it doesn't show up on the stat sheet for receivers, but he does it, and he does it well. I still think, you know, when I talk about the tight ends, I kind of talk about it blocking as the same as the offensive line when it's the unit up front blocking. If it's six guys blocking, I kind of include them all in one. And listen, like, there were good things that, like, Tucker Kraft and those guys did. Like, again, Jacobs was productive. So, like, there were good moments. But, like, there's still a lot to be left out there. And, like, it's not a knock. It's not saying that they can't do it. It's not – and, like, because Tucker Kraft has shown that he is more than capable and more than willing and a very good blocker, and he can do it. So, like, it's not saying – but, like, there's just moments that – when you need something, it's got to be a little bit cleaner. It's got to be a little bit better. Like, it's okay, and I'm not saying it's okay, but looking at a tape as a whole, it's okay if you have a couple bad runs. Like, that's going to happen in the NFL. That's life in the NFL. If you have a couple, you know, pass protections that aren't super clean, that's life. That's going to happen. But if it continues to happen, that's an issue, right? Like, and that starts to magnify what's, you know, a unit's performance, and that's kind of what I saw watching the tape as a whole. Like, you know, one side of the line looks good. Well, there's a breakdown over here, pressure. Okay, you know, quarterback's got to move out of the pocket, get rid of it, or can't go through his progression, or a run play. Front side double team looks good. Backside didn't get the backside scoop. Three techs penetrating on the backside. Well, play's blown up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's small things like that that showed up in that game. And that's really what, you know, why I, when I watch it, is why I say that.
So, Blue, the obviously one of the big storylines this week is Hutchinson's not playing, and he is a wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. As a former player, how are you feeling? Because you like to test yourself against great players, but you also don't mind the fact that they're a stud that's going to be a handful all day and playing. How did you view that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, certainly the injury that he suffered is gruesome, mm-hmm. right? Like it's a nasty, nasty injury. Like you don't wish that upon
For
any
sure.
guy you go against. Like that's a bad
yep.
injury. So like that, let's just start with that. But the second thing is like, I'll go back to 2014 or maybe 16, Saturday walkthrough before we played the Houston Texans at home. And we get done with walkthrough, and it's a nice, you know, winterish day. The snow's starting to slowly fall. And, you know, I think it was Jason, I think it was my guy Whalers. He came up to me. He goes, hey, just want to let you know, Clowney didn't get on the flight. And I go, excuse me? He goes, Clowney didn't get on the flight. I go, well, that makes me a little bit happier on this Saturday before the game. So, like for sure, I will say that, like, yeah, when these big-time pass rushers happen to not play that week, it perks your spirits up a little bit. So, like, there's definitely no doubt that Zach Tom, well, yes, you do want to test yourself against top guys, and I believe Zach Tom's a top guy, so he would welcome the challenge. He has every time he's played Hutch in their last matchups. You don't mind that he's not there, right? It's not like I wish Hutchinson was playing. Man, I really wish he was out there bull rushing me 40 times a game. That'd be really nice. So like you take it with a little bit of grain of salt. You don't want a guy to be badly injured like that. That's definitely not the case, but you know, Clowney misses a flight. Well, he's not on the plane. That stinks. Just the way it goes.
So, Brian, I want to shift to the other side of the ball. I want you to kind of do what Robert Saleh is doing for the Packers, except in the opposite direction. Because you obviously watch the film not just of how the offensive line plays, but you break everything down. So, as an offensive tackle, look, this is the Zach Tom, Penei Sewell appreciation society around here, right? Like those guys, you guys are former right tackles. You appreciate how both of them are really good players. But let's focus on Sewell for a second, only because I understand what he's doing, because that's Matt LaFleur's job, is to not, you know, publicly, harshly criticize his guys. But the last question that I got to ask on Monday was about the level of production they've gotten from their four-man rush, right? Which is not much. It's not much. Mm-hmm. Now, it's great that they've got their replacement fire zones and their simulated pressures, but the bottom line is they're not getting a lot of pressure with just their front four. And when you can, it makes everything better for your defense. So when you watch the Packers' front four pass rushers, Carl Brooks, certainly LVN, and obviously Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith, what are you seeing from them? Because Matt LaFleur's response was, well, in today's game, you got backs that are chippy, you got tight ends that are, and it's really almost like you're rushing against seven.
Well, we had that in our day, too.
Which is exactly what I was about to say next. You guys had that, too, and I didn't hear anyone saying, well, that's why they're not getting home, is because they're like having to go against seven guys. Help me understand why they're not getting home more.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think I got to play with a hell of a pass rusher that wore the G on his helmet, Clay Matthews, and there probably wasn't a guy more double-teamed and chipped and thumped and running back came out to him more than I've seen that guy on a given play. I mean, there were times where there would be three guys out there putting hands on Clay before he even got into a pass rush. So, like, and he would still find a way to create a pressure some way, somehow, right? Clay would figure out a way. I understand what LaFleur is doing, and listen, he's protecting his guys, and I get it, and I respect it, and I understand it, and I'm all for it. I get it. But they're watching that tape, and they're in those meeting rooms, and this could be a bigger Robert Saleh week to help out the defensive side of the ball than you may ever need, because as of right now, we've all seen it. It's no mystery right now. Like, rushing with four and how we've seen such a lack of production, if you bring that same, you know, rush pattern in against Detroit, Goff could have 5 seconds back there hanging out. Right. And that's when Jared Goff is completely clean in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. He's really good.
He tears teams up. Like, he's really, really good. So, like, you can't do that. So this is a big week of, I get it, Jason, you said, like, the, you know, the fire zones and simulated pressures, like those. If you can't win with your four, you got to figure out a way to do that, but also protect yourself in coverage. And there's no one better than you to have at your disposal to help you with these things than Saleh, because this is his, I mean, not, it's not his defense, but it is, in theory, the defense that he's ran everywhere. He's very good at it, albeit he's had pass rushers everywhere he's gone, right? Like, I mean, in San Fran, he had studs, and the Jets, he had, like, so, like, I get that.
Not this year.
And I think Green Bay, yeah. But, I mean, in his previous seasons, he's had really good pass rush. I mean, I think the Jets, what, McDonald has, like, 9 sacks this year?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Already, the
yeah.
DN, so, like, yeah. I mean,
pick
I think
slop.
He's doing okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's doing all right. So, like, it's like, you know, but again, I think when I watch the Packers front four, and I look at it, it's a sim, and it's like, I've talked to you guys about this before, and I wish I could get into it depth, like, in more depth. I'm not a, you know, D lineman. They're just not winning one-on-one matchups fast enough. Like, right, like, sure, you may win eventually, but eventually in the NFL, the ball's gone, right? Like, it's out of the quarterback's hand. Eventually, never gets it done. Like, and Tausch knows this, like, if you stop a defensive lineman's first move, the chance of you winning that block goes up, like, tremendously. Mm-hmm. Like, if you stop their first initial move, the rep is almost over by the time the quarterback has dropped back, hit his launch point, scanned, and threw it. So, like, we aren't winning up front on our first initial move, which then caused them to go into a secondary move. And by the time you win on a secondary move, the ball's most likely gone.
Right.
And that's what I see right now from the Packers' D line. Like, the initial surge is not getting it done, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And against Detroit, you're going to have to figure out a way to make Goff uncomfortable with – four guys rushing, because we know what they have from a secondary or from a receiver standpoint and a tight end standpoint and running backs out of the backfield standpoint. But you got to get home some way, somehow. So if that's, you know, fire zones, if that's simulated looks, whatever it may be, you got to do it. And because if you just rush four against Detroit with this offensive line that they have, and you can't be productive, it's going to be tough on you. It's going to be really tough. And they're going to do to you what they've been doing to teams. And that's
172 points in the last four games.
Yeah.
172 points.
Yeah. Like they're at, like, I think, what was it, averaging over 30 the last four, meaning 100%. Like, that, those are crazy numbers. Like, uh-huh. that's a crazy number. So, like, if you think you're going to go in there and just, like, run down the center of these Detroit offensive linemen, it ain't working. It's just not working. You're not going to run down the middle of Penei Sewell and think you're going to get home. It's just not going to happen. Like, he's too good. He's too smart. He's too strong. Like, and that's – you look at this entire offensive line, they all play so good next to each other, right? Like, they've been together for a while now, and they all play so complementary next to each other that you can't beat them on basic things. Like, and that's – and it's really how probably Tausch felt when he had that really good line with, you know, Cliff and Wall and Rivera. That's how I felt when we had Sitton and TJ and Bach and Corey. Like, you can't beat us with just regular stuff. You have to come with something very creative to beat us. And that's what Green Bay is going to have to come up with against this Detroit offensive line, because they're really good. And that's my one point in this game, that if Green Bay is going to be successful, it has to be up front on the defensive side of the ball, because if not, it's going to be a long day on defense.
Tausch, anything else?
I mean, I was going to get into the Iowa-Wisconsin stuff, but I know Blue is joining Jimmy Rutledge later, so we'll leave that there. And
not only that, I'm being told in my ear from our producer extraordinaire that you're also going to join Wisconsin College Game Day. We're going to have a Hawkeye on game day. Is that true?
No. I don't know when I got that invite.
I'm inviting you now.
I don't know when he got that invite either.
Jeez, Wilney's now overbooking Blue.
I was like, well, that hasn't come through my phone yet.
Hey, Blue, how does Iowa score six this weekend?
Isn't the old school Iowa
now? They got it done last week.
Yeah, they're scoring points.
They got it done last week.
I don't feel great about trash talking Brian this week. I don't.
Hey, Blue, I have not been to Iowa City in a while. Any spot I have to hit when I'm down there?
I would go to the airliner, get a burger, a beer.
Okay. Airliner.
Yeah, the airliner's a good spot. It depends on when you go. Like, listen, it's going to be crazy down there with Wisconsin fans and Iowa fans, but the airliner's a good spot.
All right.
It's right on the main drag downtown there when you get into Iowa City and the campus. It's one of my favorite. When I went back there for my weekend out there,
Farmer
that was one
of the
first
Year
places
Award.
I stopped.
Foy.
Yeah. Yeah. When I went out there for that, that was like the first place I went. So it's a must.
Okay.
As much as I'd like to book you on the pregame show, I misread Jesse's text. You will be joining the jump around on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Isn't that what I literally just said?
It is. I was wrong.
Oh, wow. You were wrong. Blue, can you believe
unlike
that?
Unlike some people on the panel, I can admit that.
But if you would like to do Saturday evening, we've got some openings if you're available for a segment or two.
I'm sorry.
Is there any way you want to join Jesse on the volleyball coverage postgame on Friday
night? Huge one with Nebraska on Friday. Now, that's our common enemy there. We could have you on there, sure.
Brian, I'm sorry.
Hey, Blue, before you go, I will ask you this, and this will be quick. Iowa's biggest rival is?
Like in the Big Ten?
Yep. Because
well,
it's not
anywhere.
Iowa State.
Is it Iowa State?
I mean, no, it's a made-up rival. You can't be a rival when Iowa State barely wins.
No.
They're really good.
Yeah, they're good this year.
Yeah, this year.
But in past, the rival has to win a lot for it to be a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say I always looked at it when I was at Iowa. I always thought it was Wisconsin. Because it was the two programs like mirrored each other, like they were very similar in style, and it was literally like every time you played them, it was like playing your team out at practice, and it was difficult to do. So like I always thought it was Wisconsin. It's a trophy game, both fan bases love it. So that's the way I always looked at it.
All right,
Wisconsin. It's not a mirror game anymore. Wisconsin has changed the way it plays, and Iowa has not changed significantly how it plays. So, I look forward to that game. Sorry to try and create more work for you. I will talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour, though. I think you're still scheduled for that program, and you will be joining
Prep Mania color commentary on Friday night too at Verona. Big one.
We do have the Madison Money Guy on Saturday mornings, too, if you want to talk finances. My bad. Brian, we appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, guys.
I misread that. I misread it.
Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And when you overbook people, it's probably a good idea to sit back and chill. The mountains, make sure they're blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub, responsible Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Proud sponsor of the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day pregame and postgame
show. Blue is joining that, or is he not? I'm confused now.
Won't it be something if he actually does agree to do a segment now on that?
I think he'd actually be great on the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show with Rutledge.
Well, he's got all that. He's fixing up his property. Yeah,
he'd be good on that one.
He could probably.
The America Needs Farmers Sunday Conversation, which we'll start doing as well. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Sausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.